Well, bless you, saints. I want to share something with you. I think it'll be a blessing to you. We've called it The Bride from Walking to Racing. And it's a revelation that was given to Belinda on the 30th. But first, anyone who compares the Song of Solomon, Esther, Psalm 45, the Philadelphia church, etc., etc., would know that the bride is not the church, but a high calling in the church, or the high calling in the church. If you want to study that more succinctly, you could go to Hidden Manna for the End Times on our site in the books and read it. You'll be excited. And it'll open up your understanding and maybe your desires to be holy, to be righteous, and to be in the bride. Would you like to sit next to Jesus in the kingdom? Like a bride does her king? Let's read Mark 10 and 35. It says, "And there come near unto him James and John, the sons of Zebedee, saying unto him, Teacher, we would that thou shouldest do for us whatsoever we shall ask of thee. And he said unto them, What would you that I should do for you? And he said unto him, and they said unto him, Grant unto us that we may sit one on thy right hand and one on thy left hand in thy glory. But Jesus said unto them, You know not what you ask. Are you able to drink the cup that I drink?" And I believe that that's crucifixion, since he asked for the cup to pass, but nevertheless, thy will but not mine be done. "Or to be baptized with the baptism that I am baptized with," which is pretty much the same thing. And they said unto him, "We are able." Confident fellows. They didn't know what they were getting into. And Jesus said unto them, "The cup that I shall, that I drink, you shall drink. And with the baptism that I am baptized with all, shall you be baptized. But to sit on my right hand or on my left hand is not mine to give, but it is for them for whom it hath been prepared." Well, it kind of appears that God already knows the bride. And, of course, it would behoove us to know what she looks like and how she grows to maturity. So we can go there. So we can be a part of this. Why would we want to look upon the bride? Or, as Song of Solomon calls her, the Shulamite, meaning perfect or complete one. Could it be that we will know how to be like her that way? To know what is beautiful to the Lord in order to be close to Him, sit on His right and His left? Well, Song of Solomon 6 and 8 says, "There are 70 queens and 80 concubines and virgins without number, and all of them love the Lord." Okay. But do they love Him enough to keep His commandments? Well, in many cases, no. My dove, my undefiled, is but one. She is the only one of her mother. She's the choice one of her that bare her, the choice one. The daughter saw her and called her blessed. Yea, the queens and the concubines, and they praised her. Who is she that looketh forth as the morning, fair as the moon, clear as the sun, and terrible as an army with banners? I went down into the garden of nuts to see the green plants of the valley, to see whether the vine budded and the pomegranates were in flower. And before I was aware, my soul set me among the chariots of my princely people. And then verse 13 says, "Return, return, O Shulamite, return, return, that we may look upon thee." The question is asked, why would you look upon the Shulamite as upon the dance of the Mahanaim, or two companies? What if we could take a look at the bride's baby book and memorable moments to learn something about her? Well, Belinda's dream is just that, snapshots of the bride's journey to maturity. And I'm going to share it with you. She said, I dreamed that I was looking down upon a woman, the bride, as she was reaching to pick up a book that was lying on a table. I watched as she opened up the book, and it appeared to be her baby book that held all the precious memories of her life growing up. So we could learn from this the way of maturity for the bride, right? Luke 10 and 20 says, Nevertheless, in this rejoice not that the spirits are subject unto you, but rejoice that your names are written in heaven. Isaiah 4 and 3, And it shall come to pass that he that is left in Zion, makes you think he's cleaned it out, because obviously we see all through the scripture that he is cleaning it out of the apostates. And that he that is left in Zion and he that remaineth in Jerusalem, which is the bride, shall be called holy. Even every one that is written among the living in Jerusalem, which is the bride, according to John. When the Lord shall have washed away the filth of the daughters of Zion and shall have purged the blood, in other words, the guilt of sin, of Jerusalem from the midst thereof, and by the spirit of justice and by the spirit of burning. See, one reason God baptizes us in the Holy Spirit and fire is so that fire can burn up the old flesh, right? We have to take up our cross and follow Jesus, or we're not his disciples. Revelation 3 and 5 says, He that overcometh shall thus be arrayed in white garments. See, overcoming is what causes you to be dressed up in white garments. And overcoming is obedience to the Word, very simply. Jesus said, If you love me, you'll keep my commandments. And so, if they overcome, I will in no wise blot his name out of the book of life, and I will confess his name before my Father and before his angels. And even on to Revelation 21 and 27, And there shall in no wise enter into it. And in the text, he's talking about the holy city, Jerusalem, the bride. For instance, in verse 9 and 10, that makes it very clear. Further down, too. And there shall in no wise enter into it anything unclean, or he that maketh an abomination and a lie, but only they that are written in the Lamb's book of life. Jeremiah 17 and 13, O Lord, the hope of Israel, all that forsake thee shall be put to shame. They that depart from me shall be written in the earth, because they have forsaken the Lord, the fountain of living waters. The fountain of living waters is the Word of God. It has to be our love. If you love Him, you will love the Word of God, right? Amen. Ain't God good? I watched as she ran her hand over her newborn, and obviously we're talking about born again person with the Spirit of Jesus. This is just the door opening. Some people think that's the end, and they just sit down and take it easy. You know, we've got my toe in the door, so we can sit down on a pew and wait till the rapture. So she was looking over her newborn baby picture. And, of course, that's the first step of coming in to the image of Jesus, right? That baby picture. And that had been placed on the first page. And we know Jesus was the firstborn from the dead, Colossians 1 and 18. And Belinda said under the photo, it read, It's a girl, announcing the new arrival. So, in order to grow up, we need the foundation of the gospel and the confession of faith. Sad to say, many people think that's the end of it right there. That's all you need to do, you know. But they don't know the Word, and neither do their preachers. Galatians 2 and 20 says, in a confession of faith that Paul made, I have been crucified with Christ, and it's no longer I that live, but Christ living in me. And that life which I now live in the flesh, I live in faith, the faith which is in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself up for me. Well, amen to that. And then, of course, we need the crucified life. The confession of faith is good, but Jesus said, if you don't take up your cross and follow me, you can't be my disciple. And Romans 6 and 5 says, for if we have become united with him in the likeness of his death, we shall be also in the likeness of his resurrection. Knowing this, that our old man was crucified with him, that the body of sin might be done away. So it's already a done deal. We just have to count on it. That's the good news. That's the gospel. We just have to exercise our faith in it. And he goes on to say, so that we should no longer be in bondage to sin. That's God's plan, so that we would have to carry out our, wouldn't have to carry out our days here in bondage to sin, but in bondage to him. For he that hath died is justified from sin. Amen. She was dressed in a beautiful white dress. And of course, we need innocence and holiness, do we not? Even when you're young, if you want to grow beyond that point, you need innocence and holiness. And the Lord has provided that. If you stumble, you get up, you confess it, your sins, and you confess him again, and you go on. And that's going to be covered here a little further down. But you need your robe to be white, right? Isaiah 61 and 10, I will greatly rejoice in the Lord. My soul shall be joyful in my God. For he hath clothed me with the garments of salvation. He hath covered me with the robe of righteousness. As a bridegroom decketh himself with a garland, and as a bride adorneth herself with her jewels. For as the earth bringeth forth its bud, and as the garden causes the things that are sown in it to spring forth, so the Lord will cause righteousness and praise to spring forth before all the nations. The bride is growing up before all the nations. Amen. And Belinda went on to say she had little white baby booties to protect her little baby feet. This was her first pair of shoes before beginning her spiritual walk, right? Those shoes obviously aren't made to walk in. In 1 Peter 2 and 2, it says, as newborn babes long for the spiritual milk. And it's, of course, the milk of the Word. The milk of the Word is what you feed babies. They're not able to walk yet, but it's what you feed. It's knowledge, you know, understanding, simple knowledge and understanding of the Word. So long for the spiritual milk, which is without guile. In other words, without deception. Even the foundation has to be laid, which is Jesus Christ. It has to be laid without deception, or else everything else that you build on is going to be crooked, right? Just like any building. That you may grow thereby unto salvation. In other words, notice that you may grow thereby unto salvation. That isn't salvation. Manifest salvation is bearing fruit. If you have tasted that the Lord is gracious. You know, people don't plan on growing many times in the very dark churches that they go to. They think that they've arrived, and the preacher's very happy to help them believe that they have arrived, you know, instead of you've just begun this walk of faith. And now you got to know how to walk by faith. Sad so many Christians don't get that knowledge when they walk into a church. As time went on, in other words, as we grow in faith and learn to trust in the Lord, one day her parents, that would be probably the Father in Jesus and the Mother Church, noticed that it was time for her to stand up and begin to walk. Amen. Psalm 32 and 8. I will instruct thee and teach thee in the way which thou shalt go. I will counsel thee with mine eye upon thee. God's very particular about his crop. He's raising up something that will be with him for eternity. He knows what he likes. And he's constantly working on us. Psalm 119 and 105, thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. He wants to show us where we stand. He wants to show us where to go. If we stay in the Word, we will know that. If any is willing to do the will of the Father, he shall know of the teaching, the Bible says, right? Jesus said. And John 4 and 34, Jesus saith unto them, my meat is to do the will of him that sent me, and to accomplish his work. Well, you don't give the babies the meat, but you can give it to them pretty quick when they start growing up, you know, little by little. Her parents sat her down and presented her with her first pair of walkers that came up over the ankle for support. Yep. Had five myself, so I understood that. Isaiah 41 and 13 says, for I, the Lord thy God, will hold thy right hand, saying unto thee, fear not, I will help thee. And I watched as the young toddler, in other words, as a baby Christian, stood up and wobbled a little bit and then took a couple of steps and fell forward onto a runner on the floor, probably representing the path. Belinda says the way that we should go. I agree. Proverbs 4 and 26 says, make level the path for thy feet, and let all thy ways be established. And 3 and 6 says, in all thy ways acknowledge him, and he will direct thy paths. Do you acknowledge the Lord about where you should go from here? Do you ask him? You know, the Bible says pray without ceasing, because we really don't know what the next step needs to be. The Lord wants us to be guided by him. As many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God. So we need to get used to doing that. We need to get used to following him, not figuring him out and beating him there, you know. Belinda went on to say she was able to get back up into a sitting position on the floor, waiting and trusting in the Lord, she says. And Psalm 16 and 8 says, I have set the Lord always before me, because he is at my right hand. I shall not be moved. Amen. If you're interested in following the Lord, being a disciple, pleasing him, you won't make any mistakes, saints. You know, it's when we get our attention distracted that we make the mistakes, right? And she looked over at her parents with confusion, you know, as a baby might do when she hits the floor for the first time or whatever. When we first come to the Lord, Belinda said, we are confused and ignorant of many things. We must come to the understanding that we can't do anything in and of ourselves. Yeah, that's a good thing to do. We have to do it. We must be patient and let the Lord do his work in us. Well, amen. And Psalm 86 and 11 says, teach me thy way, O Lord. I will walk in thy truth. Unite my heart to fear thy name. Oh, that's a good prayer, isn't it? Unite our heart to fear the Lord. The Bible says, fear the Lord and depart from evil. And Philippians 2 and 13 says, for it is God who worketh in you both to will and to work for his good pleasure. And her parents said unto her, it's okay, little one. Everyone falls a little bit. And when they first start to walk, you just need to get back up and try again. Well, amen. If you fall, don't be too disappointed. You know, it's probably according to your age. You need to grow a little bit and also always get back up and try again. Proverbs 24 and 16, for the righteous man falleth seven times. What does that mean? Until the rest. You know, seven is the rest. The seventh day is the rest. In other words, until you rest from your own works, as God did from His. And we know that the rest comes through faith in the promises of God. You just believe it's done. You see the end from the beginning. The gospel, right? For the righteous man falls seven times and riseth up again. But the wicked are overthrown by calamity. Oh, we don't want to get back up after that, right? And Isaiah 41 and 10, fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will strengthen thee, yea, I will help thee, yea, I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness. Now, what makes this verse effectual is our faith that God will do just this. The devil tries to give us a bad impression of God, that he's always mad at us or whatever. No, he's like a loving father. He just wants to guide us in the right way. And sometimes we stumble and he says, well, get up and go again, you know. So the little toddler did. She stood back up and took a few more steps than she took the time before. But she fell again. And then she quickly got back up. So it just becomes, as you know, if you've ever raised any children, it just becomes second nature to them to get back up. They might be a little confused the first time, but they get back up, and they get up quick. She quickly got back up and began walking again. And this time she took many more steps before she fell. Then one day she stood up and began to walk, and she wasn't falling anymore. And she really began to enjoy her walking shoes. Well, amen. It's fun to walk before the Lord, walk with the Lord. Then one day she stood up and began to walk, and she wasn't falling anymore. Praise God, that's where we need to be. Psalm 128 and 1, blessed is every one that feareth the Lord, that walketh in His ways. For thou shalt eat the labor of thy hands. Happy shalt thou be, and it shall be well with thee. Well, it's sad to say, but some never see the need to walk in the light to bear the fruit. And they really don't walk with the Lord. Walking with the Lord is having the Word of God as your guide, the Holy Spirit as your guide, walking in order to walk as He walked. The Bible says, let everyone that saith he abideth in Him walk as He walked. Our goal is to walk as He walked. You say, well, I can't do that. Well, yes, you can, but you can't do it by yourself. The Lord just said in the verse that we talked about believing that He's the one that's going to do this. And if you have faith in Him, He can do anything. We can do all things through Christ who strengtheneth us. The strengthening us is not the question. We can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. And the question is, do we have faith? Jesus said, be it unto you according to your faith. So, continue to believe the promise of God, even when you stumble. Continue to believe the promise of God. Some people don't get back up because the devil starts condemning them and they think, well, can you imagine a parent condemning their child when the child falls? Well, they might get discouraged, right? You just encourage them, to not make the mistake again and get back up. Then one day her parents came to her and told her she was now ready for her big girl shoes. And Belinda said, as we grow in the Lord and attain to more understanding of the Word, we become more responsible to what the Word says. You know, James 4 and 6 says, but He giveth more grace. Wherefore, the Scripture saith, God resisteth the proud, but giveth grace to the humble. Now, we always need grace from God constantly. So the thing is to be humble. Don't let our heart be lifted up. Don't let the devil try to put us in the position of God himself. You know, when people play God and judge, they stop growing. And they stop receiving grace. They start regressing. But the Bible avoids this waste of time and grows quickly. You see, you can't just go around and around out in the wilderness. You know, you have to pretty well figure out that this is not what the Word commands you to do. And run as straight a line as you can, right? And she was so excited, she sat down while her daddy lovingly put her big girl shoes on her feet. She happily looked down at her beautiful, shiny, big girl shoes. And Belinda said shiny means to give light to or to shine on. Epiphosko. John 8 and 12 says, Again, therefore, Jesus spake unto them, saying, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in the darkness, but shall have the light of life. And John 1 and 14, In him was life, and the life was the light of men. Walking in the light could be those shiny shoes, right? In John 12 and 46, I am come a light into the world, that whosoever believeth on me may not abide in the darkness. In Matthew 5 and 14, you are the light of the world, a city set on a hill cannot be hidden. Amen. God's got his showpieces out there that he's going to show the world an example of what he can do. And he's doing it. He's going to do it. No, I don't suppose most Christians are an example of what he can do. But he does have those people out there because they have studied the Word and they have grown beyond the playpen and climbed over the bars and followed the Lord, you know. The shoes were white. I would say for purity, with a strap that crossed over the top of the foot and buckled on the right. And I believe it means to be able to continue to walk in peace and sanctification. Your shoe can't come off, right? Because Ephesians 6 and 15 says, having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace. There are some Christians that they got no peace. They don't have any peace themselves. They don't have any peace between them and their brothers. They're always judging and critical and competitive, you know. And, of course, that's not going to enter God's kingdom. But we need to continue to have our feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. And Hebrews 12 and 14 says, follow after peace with all men. And the sanctification without which no man shall see the Lord. Well, amen. If as much as lieth in you, be at peace with all men. That's what the Lord says. Be at peace. Some never have any peace, and they don't let anybody else have any peace. Ephesians 4 and 17. This I say, therefore, and testify in the Lord, that you no longer walk as the Gentiles also walk, in the vanity of their mind. Well, sad to say, a lot of Christians do walk in the vanity of their mind. Being darkened in their understanding, alienated from the life of God. See, if you walk after your mind, you're going to be alienated from the life of God. We need the life of God. The bride grows up in the life of God, right? And it's because of the ignorance that is in them. See, if you don't spend time in the Word to know the one who wrote it, your ignorance will separate you from God. The Word is God. The Word going into your heart bears the fruit of God, according to the parable of the sower. And this is what? Because of the hardening of their heart. who being past feeling gave themselves up to lasciviousness. In other words, a license to excess, right? Licentiousness. To work all uncleanness with greediness. But you did not so learn Christ. Well, amen. If you did get in the Word and did hear the truth, you did not learn that, did you? If so be that you heard Him and were taught in Him, even as truth is in Jesus. Yet you want to be in Jesus, you need to be in the truth. If God's people would quit going to church for just a little while and get home and read their Bible until they became familiar with what the church really looks like and Jesus really wants, most of them wouldn't go back to their churches. And 22 says that you put away as concerning your former manner of life, the old man. Put away the old ways, the old thinking, the old stinking thinking. That waxes corrupt after the lusts of deceit. Yeah, you know, Christians love to deceive themselves because they only want to hear what they want to hear. And this is a sad thing. We've got to have God's Word. We've got to have His correction. We've got to repent when we hear it. So many people, they got their glasses colored one way and that's all they want to see. You try to tell them, oh no, they could never be wrong. They're never wrong. 23. And that you be renewed in the spirit of your mind and put on the new man that after God hath been created in righteousness and holiness of truth. And Belinda said she stood up to get the feel of her new shoes and they felt so good, so comfortable. And 2 Corinthians 1 and 3, Belinda writes, Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies, and the God of all comfort, who comforteth us in all of our affliction, that we may be able to comfort them that are in any affliction, through the comfort wherewith we ourselves are comforted of God. Well, amen. After you've gone through it for a while, it's easier to comfort others, isn't it? Because the Lord has comforted you. One day, as she was walking in her big girl shoes, someone came running past her in running shoes. She thought to herself, that looks like so much fun. I want to run too. So she took off running in her big girl shoes, and suddenly she tripped and fell and skinned up both of her elbows and her knees. And Belinda says, We cannot run before we learn to walk. We must first lay a foundation. Amen. And Luke 14 and 28 says, For which of you desiring to build a tower, we know the tower to be the bride, right, doth not first sit down and count the cost, whether he have wherewith to complete it? Well, we don't count the cost. It is a cost to us in losing our own life, but the power comes from God, right? Can we complete it? Well, from God's point of view, yes. But our point of view has to be faith in God. Lest haply, when he hath laid a foundation and is not able to finish, all that behold begin to mock him, saying, This man began to build and was not able to finish. And 1 Corinthians 3:11 says, For other foundation can no man lay than that which is laid, which is Jesus Christ, the Word of God. Right? When we think that we're bigger than we are, we're into pride. And pride cometh before the fall. Always. Because he gives grace to the humble, doesn't he? Some falls are just not necessary and just keep us from finishing the race. All right. Other falls are actually learning things, you know. Many think that they have outgrown their teacher very fast and when they have not yet walked in their shoes. So you haven't outgrown someone because you know something. You've only outgrown them if you're walking in bigger shoes. And more of Jesus, right? Romans 12 and 3 says, "For I say, through the grace that was given me to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think as to think soberly." So now you know what drunkenness is, right? You're out of touch with reality. You got a big head, right? According as God hath dealt to each man a measure of faith. Well, we must be patient with God and ourselves and not get ahead of our faith, right? Faith is Him knoweth to do good and doeth it, right? It's His work. We can't get ahead of Him. He wants to be our guide. He wants to make our steps for us. Luke 21 and 19 says, "In your patience you shall win your souls." We have to be patient with ourselves and with God and patiently standing upon the Word, right? James 1 and 4 says, "Let patience have its perfect work." You have to have patience to get to perfection here. "That you may be perfect and entire, lacking in nothing." If you got patience in your faith, you won't lack in anything. Good news, huh? Her father saw what happened, and he came over to comfort her as she was crying. And when he approaches her, he told her everything was going to be all right, and for her not to worry. And Matthew 6 and 27 says, "And which of you, being anxious, can add one cubit unto the measure of his life?" So, anxiety is not of faith. And faith is the victory that overcometh the world. You can't be anxious and grow in God. And Philippians 4 and 6 says, "In nothing be anxious, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be known unto God." With thanksgiving, which means faith. You're thanking Him and you're believing you have received, as Jesus said, to pray when about everything. All things whatsoever you pray and ask for, believe you received them. So then you can thank God, right? But she said to her father, "Daddy, look, my big girl shoes got all scuffed up when I fell." "They're ruined, Daddy." Of course, Belinda said, "That's a lying spirit that loves to deceive us into believing that when we fall, we have failed and can't go on with Christ." But James 4 and 7 says, "Be subject, therefore, unto God, but resist the devil, and he will flee from you." Subject unto God, subject unto the Word, and resist the devil, and he'll flee. Just remember, Philippians 4 and 13, "I can do all things in Him that strengtheneth me." Her father reached down and wiped all the scuff marks, representing failures, off of her shoes. And they looked good as new. Isaiah 40 and 30, "Even the youths shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall." And her father lovingly picked her up and put her back on her feet. And he told her, "My daughter, these shoes are not made for running, only for walking, and you must be patient." Verse 31, "But they that wait for the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles." You got a lack of faith out there? Ask God. "Lord, put it in my heart. It's your gift to give. I ask you for it. I stand upon your mercy and your grace, Lord." Amen. "They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint." They that who? Wait for the Lord. They shall walk and not faint. Patience, patience. Psalm 27 and 5, "For in the day of trouble, he will keep me secretly in his pavilion. In the covert of his tabernacle will he hide me. He will lift me up upon a rock," up above the troubles of this world, right? So she thanked her father for repairing her shoes, probably through forgiveness and grace, right? And for explaining things to her, and she began to walk once more. 2 Corinthians 9 and 8 says, "And God is able to make all grace abound unto you, that you having always all sufficiency in everything, may abound unto every good work." All sufficiency in everything. He's able to make all grace abound unto you. And by grace have you been saved through faith. You give God the faith, He can give all grace to you and give you all sufficiency in everything so that you're able to do every good work. And of course, Philippians 4:19 says, "Then my God shall supply every need of yours according to His riches in glory in Christ Jesus." Amen? And she was walking along one day in her big girl shoes, and her parents came to her again with a big surprise. They told her to sit down, as they had a gift for her. And they handed her a box and told her to open it. And as she did, there was a beautiful pair of running shoes inside. Belinda says, spiritual shoes for running and finishing our spiritual race, right? And what is that race? A race is towards death to self and manifestation of Christ in us, right? And that's, of course, before our time is up. We're not running against each other. We're running against the clock. We've got a certain amount of time here to come to that before there are deadlines, different deadlines. The bride is one. The end of the trib is one. And yours might be the end of your life, before the end of your life. We've got deadlines to meet. Okay? In 1 Corinthians 9 and 23, "And I do all things for the gospel's sake, that I may be a joint partaker thereof. Know ye not that they that run in a race run all, but one receiveth the prize?" And who is that one? It's Jesus Christ. So how are you going to win the race? By abiding in Him. One receiveth the prize. Even so run, that you may attain. And every man that striveth in the games exercises self-control in all things. Now they do it to receive a corruptible crown, but we an incorruptible. See, if you want an incorruptible crown, you must exercise self-control. You must restrain your flesh. If you give your flesh what it wants, it will take you away. It will rule you. It will overcome you. Verse 26 says, "I therefore so run as not uncertainly, and so fight I as not beating the air." See, some people, they're running, they don't know what they're running for. They don't even know what the race is like and what's the goal, you know. "But I buffet my body and bring it into bondage." That means you're not going to let your flesh rule you. You're going to rule it, and you're going to make it know you're ruling it, kind of like a horse. Right? The horse has to know that you're in control. Right? "And bring it into bondage, lest by any means, after that I have preached to others, I myself should be rejected." Well, the clock is ticking. Are we running our race according to the Scriptures? Are we allowing fleshly distractions to slow us down? Philippians 3 and 12. "Not that I have already obtained or am already made perfect, but I press on, if so be that I may lay hold on that for which I also was laid hold on by Christ Jesus." Well, what did Christ Jesus lay hold on us for? He tells you right there, perfection. Perfection, maturity, completeness. Right? "She looked up at her parents and thanked them, as she had been wanting a pair of running shoes more than anything." In other words, she wants to run after the Lord like the Shulamite in Song of Solomon, who said in chapter 1, verse 4, "Draw me, we will run after thee. Draw me." She's still counting on the Lord's ability, right? "Draw me, we will run after thee. The king hath brought me into his chambers. We will be glad and rejoice in thee." we will make mention of thy love more than of wine. Rightly do they love thee. So she put on the shoes and was admiring them. And when her father sat down beside her and said, My daughter, you must be very careful with these shoes. You must not start out running too fast, too soon. And that reminded Belinda of Deuteronomy 31 and 8. And the Lord, He it is that doth go before thee. He will be with thee. He will not forsake thee, neither forsake thee. Fear not, neither be dismayed. He will not fail thee, nor forsake thee. Don't be in fear, and don't be dismayed. You need to start out slowly with patience, and then one day you will be able to pick up speed. She said, Okay, Daddy, I will. You know, the crucifixion that we go through is not all of a sudden up front. It's a little here and a little there. You know, as we gain knowledge, it's more. And the Lord is gradually bringing us into something that is going to eventually bring the death of the old man and the life of the new. And she said, Okay, Daddy, I will. Ephesians 3 and 20 says, Now unto him that's able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us, unto him be the glory in the church and in Christ Jesus unto all generations forever and ever. Amen. You know, children love to try on and walk in their parents' shoes. Have you ever noticed? But quickly they learn that they have to grow into them. Pride cometh before the fall. I think that's what the symbol is. Some people want to be a leader, but they don't want to let God get them there. They want to go up some other way, you know. So she stood up and ever so slowly began a steady jog. She was amazed at how comfortable these running shoes were, and that she never seemed to get tired. Isaiah 40 and 29, He giveth power to the faint, and to him that hath no might, He increaseth strength. Well, amen. It's Him that empowers us, right? Even the youths shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall. But they that wait for the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles, and they shall run and not be weary, and they shall walk and not faint. And Belinda said one day as she was running along, she noticed that she was picking up speed. Yeah, you know what? As more flesh falls away, more spirit man is left. The faster you can go. This was just like her father said that it would be. Well, that's what we got to pay attention to. What does he say, right? In 2 Peter 1 and 4, Whereby he hath granted unto us his precious and exceeding great promises, that through these you may become partakers of the divine nature. How do we partake of the divine nature? We first got to lose the flesh. That's the crucifixion. Then we get the resurrection life. That's the divine nature, right? Having escaped from the corruption that is in the world by lust. Deny your flesh. Buffet your flesh. You want to run the race, and you must run it quickly now. Because, as we've seen, the door is closing on the bride. Yea, for this very cause, adding on your part all diligence in your faith. Supply virtue, and in your virtue knowledge, and in your knowledge self-control. And in your self-control patience, and in your patience godliness. And in your godliness brotherly kindness, and in your brotherly kindness love. Boy, don't ignore these. These are the divine nature. Don't ignore them, because these give you entrance into the eternal kingdom, as Peter went on to say. For if these things are yours and abound, they make you not idle or unfruitful unto the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. And thus shall be richly supplied unto you the entrance into the eternal kingdom. Praise God. say, well, where do we enter that kingdom? Right here, by entering into those attributes of Jesus Christ. We enter into the kingdom of God. You don't wait to die to enter the kingdom. If you do that, you'll be fruitless. And she noticed that as she was picking up speed, her feet were growing. So were her shoes. Well, maturity to walk and run in her father's faith, right? Them big shoes she used to stand in, right? But they were so sloppy that she just tripped over them, right? Yeah. She was so excited by this discovery that she began to run faster and faster and faster. What is this faster? Faster towards the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus, which Paul said he pressed on toward in Philippians 3 and 14. Faster and faster. More and more against the flesh. More and more walking in Jesus. Right? More and more purity and righteousness, sanctification. More humility. One day her father was watching her run, and he watched as she ran like a deer. Psalm 18 and 33, maketh my feet like hinds' feet, and setteth me upon my high places. She saw her father watching her, and she said, Father, I seem to be running so fast. Where am I running to? And her father said, all the way to the finish line, all the way to Jesus. So true, so true. You want to find Jesus? You're going to run after him like the Shulamite did? Well, okay. 1 John 3 and 2, Beloved, now are we the children of God, and it's not yet made manifest what we shall be. We know that if he shall be manifested, and he's talking about in us, we shall be like him. For we shall see him even as he is. And Matthew 5 and 8, Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. One of my favorite verses, 2 Corinthians 3 and 18, which always keeps that gospel in front of your face, always that good news to empower you to go on. But we all, with unveiled face, beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, are transformed into the same image from glory to glory, even as from the Lord the Spirit. Yes, keep that vision of Jesus, the one who is delivered of sin, the one who is righteous and pure and holy, and the one who is gave his life for you and made this exchange for you, right? And 4 and 6 says, Seeing it is God that said, Light shall shine out of darkness, who shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. In the face of Jesus Christ, the glory of God. But we have this treasure in earthen vessels, light shining out of darkness, right? That the exceeding greatness of the power may be of God and not from ourselves. We are pressed on every side, yet not straitened, perplexed, yet not unto despair, pursued, yet not forsaken, smitten down, yet not destroyed. Boot camp, right? Yeah. Always bearing about in the body the dying of Jesus, so that the life also of Jesus may be manifested in our body. Not the next body, saints, this body. For we who live are always delivered unto death for Jesus' sake, that the life also of Jesus may be manifested in our mortal flesh. This body, mortal flesh. Oh, Father, put it in our hearts. Cause us to run after you, as the Shulamite said. Draw us and cause us to run after you, Lord. Please do a quick work in us, Lord, because we're running out of time for at least one deadline, and that's to be in the bride before the marriage feast of the last 7 days or 70th week of Daniel starts. Thank you, Father. Thank you for working in us to will and to do of your good pleasure. Thank you, Father, in the name of Jesus. We praise you. We got our eyes on you, Lord. Amen.